This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
German business leaders make an emotional appeal for Britain to stay in the European Union. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. More than 30 German politicians and company bosses, including the CEO of Airbus, have signed a letter making front page news in one of the UK's biggest daily papers, The Times of London. While those who signed say they respect British voters' decision to leave the EU, they add, quote, "No choice is irreversible and our door will always remain open." I asked Dr. Franziska Brattner, a member of the Greens Party, why she helped organize the letter.
I don't want to be in 20 years when my daughter asks me, what did you do, to have to say nothing. We feel the pain also about the very difficult decisions the British people to take these days. And we know it's their decision. We just wanted to make clear that you know why taking this decision, that we would be very happy if you stayed. Do we believe that this will make the big difference? I don't know, but at least we wanted to make sure that we did what we could. And our affection for the British people has been expressed.
How are businesses in Germany preparing for the possibility of a no-deal departure?
We do have hard Brexit, of course, preparation, but we still hope that this won't be the case because it will not be only hardship for EU citizens, but also for ours. And we also believe that it should not be the way to depart. But of course, we're all waiting now for Plan B. We can't do much. Everything we can do is to say, we do appreciate you. We need you to reform the EU to make it, you know, fit for purpose. And we would like you to help us to make the EU a better place.
This week, we got data that showed German growth hit its weakest pace in 5 years last year. So how does the impact of Brexit fit into all of this?
Of course, it will have an impact. We have some companies with completely integrated production chain with the UK. So it will have an impact. But on the other side, German companies are preparing for that and are usually quite flexible to adapt. But, you know, we still don't hope for that scenario.
Dr. Franziska Brattner there. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are solidly higher on hopes of a breakthrough in the U.S.-China trade spat. A report in the Wall Street Journal suggested the U.S. could ease tariffs to calm markets and give incentive to continue negotiations. Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended the session up more than 1%, while U.S. stock futures point to a higher start on Wall Street. Volkswagen-owned luxury automaker Bentley blows out the candles on its 100th birthday cake today. But as prestige goods go out of fashion, is there a place for ultra-luxe cars? Jürgen Piper is an autos analyst at Metzler in Germany.
Yes, if you talk about the ultra-luxury segment cars, which cost you £200,000 and more, this is what people expect.
So then if we kind of broaden it out and look at the global auto sector, we've seen sales slumping over the last year or two. Why are we seeing this? What does all that do to?
We had 8 years of growth in a row, and this was already quite exceptional. So we come to quite a normal situation of some sluggishness, some reaction after a relatively long boom. But we are facing very, very big technological change. Electric cars, self-driving cars in a couple of years. And people kind of feel that already, and there is a certain degree of uncertainty now in the market.
And how does geopolitics factor into all of this? Because in the UK, we've got Brexit coming up. We have an ongoing trade spat between the US and China that's hitting consumers, and then tariffs on European steel and aluminum. So how does all of that tie into consumer demand and consumer confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. In 2018, we felt a kind of crisis in the automotive sector because we had so many interruptions, impact from the political side. We all were not used to this kind of tariff statements anymore. We have more regulation as a consequence of the diesel scandal in Europe, even in countries like Germany, which tended to be very automotive friendly in the past. This is certainly a change which will last probably another couple of years and which makes things more difficult for the industry.
Jürgen Piper. Now, since the mid-1990s, private members clubs have become increasingly popular, and now the trend is spreading to Asia. But with annual membership fees in the thousands of dollars, what do these venues offer business people looking to network? Sharonjeet Lail reports from Singapore.
Housed in an ornate, century-old building in Singapore's Chinatown, which has been a hotel and even a brothel, it's now an exclusive members' club. Orn Ko is one of the founders of the Straits Clan. With an annual membership that averages $3,000 a year, it will buy you access to dining areas, bars, workspaces, a spa, gym, and even the unexpected. Orn takes us into a chinoiserie-inspired room with red walls and lacquered furnishings.
Welcome to one of our karaoke rooms. You know, it was important for us when we were designing the services of the club to think about what people enjoy here in Asia, here in Singapore.
Orn tells me the Straits Clan now has nearly 1,000 members in less than a year since it's opened its doors. Up an escalator through a tunnel lit in psychedelic colours, another club across town couldn't be more different, with modern interiors. 1880 is housed in a sleek new hotel. It also offers its members a similar range of facilities and several private nooks, including phone booths with cushioned interiors to get away from it all. 1880's founder Mark Nicholson thinks clubs like these are the intellectual salons of today.
You get very siloed in your industry, and you know, if you're a banker, you hang out with bankers, and if you're a dancer, you're with dancers. And I wondered, where's that place where all of these wonderful people congregate? Because I think the quality of people in Singapore is as high as it is anywhere in the world.
Much like London's Soho House, which these clubs are obviously modelled after, the membership process starts with an invitation to apply and screenings by the committee. The private club formula has worked in London and now appears to be taking off in Asia, creating new stomping grounds for a young business crowd looking to build networks and more.
Sharonjeet Lail reporting from Singapore and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.